Coming up on this episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy.
The food that you're putting in your mouth is so much more important than what topical things you're putting on your skin.
Welcome to a special episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy called House Call. I'm Dr. Mark Hyman, and that's pharmacy with an F, F-A-R-M-A-C-Y, a place for conversations that matter. And you're going to learn about some important topics that affect millions and millions of people in this country. And it's something that we all wish we would never get, which is pimples. we have a massive acne epidemic in this country. It affects over 50 million people, which is no small amount of people. That's more people than have diabetes or cancer or heart disease. And it's something that's incredibly treatable using the principles of functional medicine. It's the easiest thing to treat almost in functional medicine. And today I'm sitting with my colleague, my friend, my partner at the Ultra Wellness Center, the medical director here, who's an extraordinary physician, a nutritionist, a registered dietitian, exercise physiologist. And she works with us here at the Ultra Wellness Center, leads the team in an incredible way, which she's been doing for so long. And I'm just so grateful, Liz, to have you on the podcast again and to have your wisdom and help to help people solve this horrible problem called acne.
Well, thank you, Mark. Thank you for having me.
All right. So tell us a little bit about the scope of this problem and some of the background that we know about how we think about it in traditional medicine and how we approach it versus how we might approach it using a functional medicine approach and how we deal with it here at the Ultra Wellness Center.
Absolutely. I mean, acne is the number one skin condition in the United States. So it's the number one issue that people in the United States are dealing with in terms of their skin. As you mentioned, 50 million Americans are dealing with this. And, you know, we know that it's more common in our when we're going through puberty, when our hormones are shifting. We often will see acne in the adolescent age group. But we're seeing more and more acne in adults now as well. And that is definitely increasing. You know, I remember I was having a conversation with my daughter, you know, about skincare products, you know, and okay, what's the best thing to use for my skin? And all of a sudden I realized, even though we had been, she'd lived with me her whole life, you know, I don't think I ever said this. I said, what you're eating is so much more important than what you're putting on your skin.
Yeah.
You know, what the food that you're putting in your mouth is so much more important than what topical things you're putting on your skin. And so it made us start to have this conversation, which I thought I was saying all the time, but that I think sometimes people don't realize or understand, or the connection is not made, right? That how important what you're choosing to eat every minute of the day, you know, how much that impacts your skin.
Yeah, I mean, the traditional medicine focuses on the outside in, what stuff you can slather on your face, what creams, potions, lotions, or maybe taking antibiotics, which is a whole problem we're going to talk about in a minute. But most of our skin health comes from the inside out.
Yes.
So if you want great skin, if you want glowing skin, if you want clear skin, if you want to get rid of your acne, if you want to get rid of your eczema, if you want to get rid of your psoriasis, if you want to get rid of, you know, rosacea, all these things come from the inside out, and traditional dermatology focuses on the outside in.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't really work that well most of the time, even when you work on the outside in.
Yeah.
And it's difficult, it's expensive, these medications are absorbed. You know, you basically... My rule is if you wouldn't eat it, you shouldn't put it on your skin.
And a lot of times with the topical treatments, whether it's, you know, steroids for eczema or topical antibiotics for acne, they can work in the short term, but in the long term, they disrupt your skin and make you more prone to getting it in the future. For example, you know, we know both topical steroids and topical antibiotics are going to get rid of that really important layer of good bacteria that's on our skin.
So wait, you have a microbiome on your skin, is what you're saying.
It's kind of cool, right? Not only in our digestive system, but lining our skin. And so those medications, though they can be helpful in the short term, in the long term, they're damaging, they're getting rid of all of those good bacteria, which are really important first line of defense.
Yeah.
And so then you create a dysbiosis or an imbalance in the good and bad bacteria on your skin. And then that just makes you more prone to getting more acne in the future. So it may be okay in the short term, but it's not getting to that underlying root cause.
It's true. And so we put on antibiotics on the skin. We put on these agents that dry it out, like benzoyl peroxide, which are most of these acne products. If that doesn't work, we give people oral antibiotics, which not only disrupts the facial microbiome, but also the gut microbiome.
Absolutely.
And what we know now in functional medicine and in medicine in general, if people paid attention to the research on acne, is a lot of this starts in the gut.
Yes.
So if I see someone with skin problems, the first thing I think of, what's going on in their gut?
Absolutely.
What's going on with their food that they're eating?
Yep.
With inflammatory foods, with food sensitivities, with foods that trigger hormonal responses, with foods that increase something called insulin resistance. So tell us about the pathology and the pathophysiology of acne, because it's very interesting, because we often just think it's like a topical thing, but it's really not.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things we know with foods is that when you eat foods that are really refined and processed, foods that are high in sugar and refined carbohydrates, you'll get a spike in your blood sugar. And you'll often get that spike in insulin after you get a spike in blood sugar, right? Mm. So you eat food, your blood sugar goes up, the body makes a lot of insulin. And that spike in insulin and blood sugar will cause a follicular hyperkeratinosis.
Wow, that's a big word.
I know, right? Which is, which just means that there's in the follicles of the skin's not turning over as well as it should. Mm. And so cells get stuck in the skin. And then those stuck cells can get more inflamed and you can get acne can get produced. Mm. So one of the major things we always start with is pulling away the refined and processed foods and the sugary foods.
And starchy foods,
right? Anything that's going to cause that insulin spike.
Yeah.
You can really see signs of insulin resistance on the skin in so many different ways.
It's like pre-diabetes, right? It's like you eat too much sugar, your blood sugar goes up, your insulin goes up, and it creates this vicious cycle we've talked about so much, which is this pre-diabetes that affects one out of every two Americans.
Yes.
Right?
Right. And their insulin is higher than somebody who doesn't have insulin resistance. Mm. And that high level of insulin causes a lot of shifts in the skin. It causes that follicular hyperkeratosis that causes the acne. It can cause more skin tags. It can cause something called acanthosis nigricans, which is this darkening of the skin folds, in your neck and in your armpit. And so you can, by just examining somebody right away, you can get a sense of, do they have insulin resistance or that pre-diabetes state? Because it shifts the growth factors, the high inflammation from eating these high sugary foods causes changes in your skin.
Well, we know that, for example, PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome, it's a common condition that affects women that causes infertility. We're going to talk about that on another podcast. It causes acne.
Yes.
It causes really screwed up menstrual cycles, and it causes hair growth. Mm-hmm. And we think of it as a ovarian problem. It's not. It's a mouth problem. It's a fork problem. It's a dietary problem.
Often,
right? And so it's caused by insulin resistance. And the consequences of that are the acne and all these screw up hormones. Mm-hmm. So when women have a lot of sugar, it actually can increase their testosterone.
Yes.
Which causes acne.
Yes.
And it causes hair growth and it causes infertility. So the treatment isn't heavy duty drugs and hormones. It's actually changing your diet.
Which is amazing to see. I mean, when we know that when we pull away those refined and processed foods and the sugary foods, so many of our patients see great improvement in their acne right away.
So sugar, starch, processed foods, they got to go.
Yeah.
And then there's another food that is really common in the country, and it is a huge driver of acne.
Yeah. Dairy.
Yeah. Dairy.
Dairy. I mean, because dairy is, all of our dairy food, our milk, our cheese, our ice cream, all of that is very high in hormones.
There's 60 different hormones in milk. And these are not added like growth hormone. These are just naturally occurring hormones. Why? It's a growth food for calves.
It helps the calves grow, right?
So it's got a lot of factors that are hormonally active that drive growth.
Right? Yes. And we know that those growth factors can stimulate acne in some people. Not everybody, but for some people, they're more sensitive to them and they definitely will cause more acne.
I'm one of them. Yeah. I think if I have dairy, I get pimples.
Yeah.
So if I know I'm going on a TV, I can't eat dairy. I don't usually eat dairy, but if I have sheep or goat, it's a little different. It's not as inflammatory for some reason. But if I have regular dairy, you can count on me getting pimples.
Yeah.
And I'm like 60 years old to get pimples from dairy.
Absolutely. And I think it depends, like the question of sheep or goat, I think it depends on the person. There's some people that it really, all types of dairy bother their skin. And for other people, there's some that is better than others. And what we know is sometimes the testing, like the food allergy testing or food sensitivity testing, doesn't always pick it up. I mean, we do it often, but there are times when we get a negative test result, but even if we still pull it away and people's skin improves.
So this isn't like an allergy necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Dairy,
it could
right?
be just, like you said, all the hormones in dairy too.
But there's another category of things, which are food sensitivities that do drive inflammation and drive leaky gut and can drive acne that are independent. So we've got sugar, we've got dairy, and we've got this other category, which is sort of amorphous, but it is a factor in a lot of people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So there's so many ways, and I always say this, there's so many ways that somebody can react to food, right? You can have, and people get confused all the time because they get one negative report and they say, oh, then I must be fine to eat that food, right?
Yeah.
You can get an immediate reaction to food or an IgE. You can get a delayed reaction to food or an IgG, but you can also have a food intolerance. There's just so many ways you can react to food.
Yeah.
So just because you have one negative food test result doesn't necessarily mean that food is not causing you problems.
Yeah, that's a whole other topic, which is what are the many ways that we react to food? You know, what are the 50 ways I love you? It's like, what are the 50 ways you react to food? And it's all kinds of stuff from tartrazine, which is a dye that causes asthma, it's an additive, or whether it's MSG that can cause an amino acid related cognitive effect, or whether it's
glutamate,
or whether it's something like high fructose corn syrup, which people can have fructose intolerance,
or how food changes your microbiome, and then that changes the inflammation. I mean, that's
By the way, in this age of COVID and coronavirus, it's really clear that the more sugar we eat, it affects our immune system, but it also affects our microbiome and our gut health. Turns out, is incredibly important for us to be resistant to the flu through many, many research studies, and likely to coronavirus as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think that this first case that we were going to talk about, this 22-year-old who came to see me, you know, she, it really kind of pulls in the importance of the microbiome in terms of your immune system, but also in terms of your skin.
Yeah.
Right? She was a 22-year-old, and she had, she started to develop acne when she was around 12. When we got more history from her, I realized she had had multiple antibiotics as a kid. She had chronic ear infections, and especially when she was getting those ear infections, they were treating most of them with antibiotics. And I think we've kind of calmed down a lot on treating every ear infection with antibiotics, but she got a lot of antibiotics because of her ear infections.
Yeah, I was a family doctor, remember? It's like, oh, give them out like candy, a little amoxicillin, this and that. It's like nothing.
Right.
Now I'm like horrified by what I did, 30 years ago.
So she came in to see us because she was using a lot of different topical treatments. She was also taking a low-dose antibiotic. And her skin was better, but she didn't want to stay on these antibiotics, and she wanted to really look at it a different way. And when she stopped taking the oral antibiotic, which she realized she didn't want to be on forever, her acne started to get worse again.
Yeah.
So she said, okay, I really want to figure out...
Which is not uncommon, and then doctors say, oh, you need more antibiotics.
Right.
It's like... That's the vicious cycle.
It becomes a vicious cycle. We see these vicious cycles all the time with medications, right? Because they're shifting, because those antibiotics, as we've mentioned, are shifting the microbiome. They're shifting the microbiome in your gut. They're shifting it on your skin. They're getting rid of that first line of defense. Mm-hmm. And then they're allowing, then it's more common to get the acne again when you stop them. Mm-hmm. And so just because of her history of all of those antibiotics as a kid and being on the antibiotics, and because we got more information, she was having a lot of digestive issues. She was having some bloating, some diarrhea, constipation. Her digestion was off.
And her dermatologist never was like, what's going on with your gut, right?
No, right. Right. No, he didn't ask that. So because of that, I said, you know what? I really need to focus on the microbiome here for this woman to help improve her acne. And so we did a stool test, which is kind of a neat way to get a sense of what's going on in the microbiome.
Yeah.
It looks for real...
How is this different than like what a traditional doctor would do with a regular stool test?
You know, it looks at a lot of different biomarkers, right? So it's looking at all of your levels of commensal bacteria, like all the good bacteria, and is there an imbalance in the good and bad bacteria?
Yeah.
So it does look for acute infections, for real infections as well, but it also is really paying attention to something we call dysbiosis, which is an imbalance in the good and bad bacteria, and trying to get a sense of, is there an overgrowth of not good bacteria or not good yeast or parasite. It also looks at parasites. It looks at digestion and absorption and inflammatory markers.
Yeah, so you look at how your enzymes are working, and are you digesting your food, or are you absorbing your food?
Yep.
Is there inflammation in there? It's like a window into a dark world,
You
know, and we can learn so much from that through these tests, which are really not available through traditional doctors. I mean, they could order them if they wanted to, but they just it's just not something we're trained in, which is how do we take a deep look in the gut? We're talking about the microbiome, but you know, it's some future state of medicine. We'll somehow figure out what to do with it. Well, we've been doing this for 30 years in functional medicine.
Right.
And now that we understand even more than we ever did, and we're learning better and better how to actually optimize the microbiome and fix the problems of leaky gut and all these things that happen as a result of, like, your patient who had all these antibiotics and this crappy diet and developed, you know, overgrowth of bacteria that you found and yeast.
Right. So when the stool test came back, we found that there was this overgrowth of unwanted bacteria and there was an overgrowth of unwanted yeast. And and so we can do tests, like you said, on is there increased intestinal permeability or leaky gut? And she, of course, had that because of these imbalances and the inflammation going on in her digestive system, because we know that those imbalances cause inflammation. And we know inflammation causes all sorts of things, including acne, right? So we said, okay, we need to work to fix this imbalance. Let's work to rebalance the bacteria in her gut. Mm. And so for her, she wanted to use an herbal approach, and I agreed with that. So we put her on a combination of a couple different herbs that can work to get rid of the overgrowth of bacteria and yeast. And that worked really well. The one thing I always say about skin, though, is you kind of have to be patient sometimes. So if you are pulling away a food like dairy, or which we did with her, we took her off of dairy.
Yeah.
We took away a lot of added sugar. If you're adding in something to treat the dysbiosis, and we also gave her a lot of probiotics too, you got to give it some time for the skin to improve. You might see some improvement in the inflammatory acne right away, but for the skin to really improve, it takes like 6 weeks for the skin to turn over. So you want to give it some, we always give it some time to say, okay, how is this improving?
And so we also
added in some nutrients that are really important for skin turnover. So we know that zinc and vitamin A are really critical nutrients to help the skin turn over, so you don't get so much of that hyperkeratinosis, that elevated levels of the skin not turning over, which can cause more acne to develop.
And Accutane is a derivative of vitamin A, which is actually what is used for really bad acne.
Yeah.
And, you know, by using this comprehensive approach we use in functional medicine that we do here at the Ultra Wellness Center, with the deep diagnostics we do, and knowing how to optimize function, right, of your skin, of your gut, et cetera, we can get people better where often they don't get better.
Yes.
And do it in a way that not only improves their skin, but improves their overall health.
Right? Yeah.
So, yeah, very
powerful. So we put her on some zinc and vitamin A. Now, the both of those, you know, I just want to caution listeners, if you're not working with the doctor, you know, both of those you can get too much of, and they can cause imbalances in other vitamins. And vitamin A is fat soluble. So if you're going to use a higher
OD
dose,
on it.
Like I use 10,000 I use per day with her.
A vitamin A.
But
you don't want to be on that for like a long time.
No, it was like, we did it for like 3 months and then we started to spread it out and I was monitoring her levels. And the same thing with zinc. You know, you just have to be a little bit cautious of just taking a lot of this on your own, because it can throw off some of your vitamin levels, or vitamin A can be toxic at high doses. But it really helped. I mean, the whole comprehensive approach really helped her skin improve.
Yeah.
And she was able to stop using both the oral antibiotics
and the topical
antibiotics. She was able to get off of them. And her skin, that dysbiosis started to rebalance, and she wasn't getting all the acne all the time.
And I bet there were a lot of great side effects too. I bet she lost weight and had more energy
and felt
better,
too,
right?
Absolutely.
Like, yeah, instead of the side effects being all bad, they're all good.
That's true.
Right. Hey everyone, it's Dr. Hyman here. Now, I know we're all focused on being as healthy as possible during this unprecedented time, and that means drinking clean water, eating loads of anti-inflammatory foods, and it also means keeping our homes clean. Now, I've been doing my best to keep my family safe while indoors, and for me, this means using an air filter. Now, we know that toxic air particles can contribute to cardiovascular disease, lung disease, and even neurodegenerative diseases like Alzheimer's. These toxic particles come from cleaning products and stoves and pet dander and air fresheners and house paint and furniture and so much more. And that's why it's super important to filter our indoor air with the highest quality filter around. And a few years ago, I found Air Doctor, which is an air filter that's made by Ideal Living. And I loved it so much that I bought it and brought it into my home and my clinic. The Air Doctor is the first affordable air purifier that not only removes 100% of the particles, but also the vast majority of volatile organic compounds and gases. It features an ultra HEPA filter, which is 100 times more effective than ordinary HEPA filters. The Air Doctor is a 100% sealed system to ensure that all the air you breathe is pure and filtered. Now, I've teamed up with the makers of Air Doctor to give the Doctor's Pharmacy listeners the best deal yet on this amazing filtration system. Right now, if you go to drhyman.com/filter to access the Air Doctor filter for $329, and that's $300 off the normal price of this filter. And this is their biggest deal yet. You definitely want to take advantage. So head over to drhyman.com/filter to access the deal. Thanks for tuning in. Just to recap, this is a really important case because it's a story we hear over and over and over again. You see someone who early on had probably sensitivities to food or maybe had antibiotics for an ear infection. And then it's this vicious cycle of things that disrupt the gut that then lead to sort of secondary problems down the road like acne. And it lead to imbalances in the microbiome. They can get treated with more antibiotics and you're in this vicious loop and functional medicine takes you out of that loop. Yes. And we do, you know, a very deep history and we look at also tests, which are really different from what your traditional doctor will do. Food sensitivity testing, stool testing. We look at nutrient levels. We can look at vitamin A, zinc, fish oil, omega-3s that are really important. And then we have a comprehensive approach, which is dietary. We take people off food sensitivity, like dairy, which is a trigger. Sugar and starch, maybe other foods. Gluten can be an issue for some people. And then we rebalance the gut. I call it the weeding, seeding, and feeding program. We weed out the bad guys. We seed with the good guys, the probiotics. We feed them, right, which is with prebiotics and the right nutrients, like you said, for the gut healing. And we see these remarkable turnarounds in a very short time. And it's not that hard. It's just you have to know what to do. So it reminds me of that joke where this doctor sent his patient a bill for taking his appendix out. And the patient got the bill, said it's $1,000. And the patient writes back to the doctor, says, doctor, that's a lot of money for such a simple operation. He's like, you're right. He sends him a new bill, says taking out your appendix, $1. Knowing that's what needs to be taken out, $999. Yeah. And I think that's sort of the key of functional medicine. It's not necessarily that hard.
Yes.
It's just knowing what to do and what questions to ask and what tests to do and what treatments to apply.
Because everybody's an individual, right? I mean, I think that's so key, right? So we're all individuals so that for that patient, it was her microbiome that we needed to rebalance. Mm-hmm. But for the next person we're going to talk about, it's going to be how do we help support their detoxification system? And for somebody else, it may be just as simple as they're eating too much sugar, you know? But I think it's important that we have to recognize that we're all individuals and the cause of acne is not just one problem. It's, it depends on your individual story, how we treat
it. Really important. We often say medicine that, you know, one disease can have many causes and one cause can create many diseases, right? So acne can have many, many different things. There are common patterns and there are common patterns. So we know what to look for. But in each individual, it might be a little bit different. And that's what we call personalized medicine, precision nutrition, personalized health, precision health. It's what we do. That's what functional medicine is.
And so,
tell us about the next one, because it's quite a different kind of case that you wouldn't expect that be related to acne. But
So she was a 44-year-old woman, and she had been struggling with acne her whole life. It got worse definitely before her period. So there was a hormonal connection. But she always had some acne. And we did an elimination diet with her. She had tried some on her own, but then when she came to see us, we became more strict and we pulled away really more inflammatory foods just to see. We did some testing and we pulled away gluten and dairy and all the sugars and refined products and her skin got a little bit better.
Yeah.
But only a little bit better. You know, and we did some of the stool testing on her and it looked pretty good. So I started to think, okay, we've got to look a little deeper here. And so we did some evaluation on her toxic load, right? We started to look at her, how she metabolized her hormones. We started to look at what levels of toxins she had in her body. We looked at things like the pesticide levels. We looked at BPA levels. We looked
What's
at
BPA.
BPA is a
bisphenol A.
Sorry. Yeah.
And what is it? What is it using?
I'm sorry.
Like, where do people get that from?
From the hard plastic.
Hard plastic. Yeah. Also, your credit card receipts, yes. Your ATM receipts, your
lining of cans,
your receipts from your gas station, lining of cans.
Yeah,
I never. People say you want a receipt. I'm like, nope.
Yeah, no. Always say no.
No thanks.
Always say no. And then you know, in a lot of the big containers of water that people get, those are BPA containing containers. So you know, you want to be drinking out of glass and you know,
metal.
Metal, not plastic, right? But that can act as an it's a xenoestrogen, so it can act as an estrogen in the body.
So it's interesting. You just said something powerful. I want to just stop for a minute because most people don't realize. They think these toxins are poisons. They get that, but they don't realize that the way they act in the body is hormonal. They're hormonal imposters. Yes. Mimics.
In fact,
and there's a book I read years ago called Our Stolen Future by Theo Kolbern, where she documented the ways in which all these environmental chemicals were affecting the reproductive health of animals and humans. It was just fascinating to me. And it was just like, whoa,
right.
I think people really want to learn about this. They should check out that book, but tell us more about how that works.
So they realized that BPA was an issue back in the 1970s, I think, at Tufts University, where they were doing research on breast cancer. And then they realized that the test tube was impacting their results.
Wow.
And then they were like, okay, we've got to figure out what's in the test tube. And that's when they realized the BPA can act like estrogen in the test tube and impact the growth of cancer that they were evaluating or studying. Mm-hmm. And that's when we started to learn more about BPA and how it can act as a xenoestrogen, or it is a xenoestrogen, which can bind to the estrogen receptor in your body and then shift your hormones.
Right? What's so fascinating about these xenoestrogens or xenohormones is, I mean, xeno means foreign, right?
Yep.
Is that, you know, they're in small concentrations,
yes,
right? But it turns out that they're synergistic. So we might get a little BPA here and a little phthalate there and a little whatever there.
Yes.
And they're not 1 + 1 = 2. They're 1 × 1 = 1,000. And so in very small amounts, they're extremely potent and they bind to the receptors. They can activate them. They link to cancer. They're linked to insulin resistance and obesity.
Yes.
So BPA can cause obesity and insulin resistance. So you get these double mechanisms of insulin resistance, of hormonal disruption.
Yes.
And this can cause all kinds of problems, including acne.
Yeah. And so what I realized with all of her testing is that she had a high toxic load, just what you're saying. She had a little bit of, a little too high of lead and mercury. Her BPA was high. Some of her pesticide levels were high. And she had a high level of oxidative stress. So oxidative stress is a marker. There's multiple different markers of oxidative stress. Yeah, they're excessive free radicals in the body. So when you don't have enough antioxidants, or if your body is producing too many prooxidants because of poor diet or toxins, you get this imbalance, right? You don't have enough of the good antioxidants to get rid of the too many of the prooxidants that are being formed. You get an imbalance called oxidative stress, and we can measure that.
And we can see it, like it's something people know. When your apple turns brown, that's air and oxygen interacting, or a car rusts, right? Mm-hmm. Or your skin wrinkles from the sun. That's all oxidative stress, but it's happening on the inside.
Yes. And, you know, we always make these free radicals, but the problem is when you make too many or you don't have enough of the antioxidants or those phytonutrients to get rid of all the too many prooxidants. And so you can measure that imbalance. You can look at markers of oxidative stress in somebody's body, which is associated with aging and illness.
That's an unusual test we do in functional medicine, we do here at the Ultra Wellness Center, that you normally wouldn't get, that tells you sort of what's going on.
And it's a great way. I think it's one of the best biomarkers to look at to see how is somebody improving, right? Mm-hmm. And so for her, she had this elevated level of oxidative stress. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. And so then that's when we looked at all these toxins, because they can be a cause of oxidative stress. There's multiple causes, but these can be one of them.
Yeah.
And so I realized she had this elevated toxic load. She had some genes that made it harder for her to produce glutathione, which is this amazing antioxidant for the body.
That's the other thing we do here. We do testing that looks at genes. Now, we don't do your entire genome sequence, which is $1,000. But we look at very specific genes that are common,
yes,
that we can do something about, that have some kind of clinical relevance.
Yes.
And that we can modify through diet, lifestyle, supplements, reducing toxic load, whatever. And what were the things you found in her?
Right. So she had a couple of variations in some of her glutathione genes. Her glutathione genes, the GSTM1 gene that helps the body with production of glutathione. And
what is glutathione?
Glutathione is this amazing antioxidant and detoxifier in the body. And so she genetically had a harder time with production and utilization of her glutathione.
And by the way, I wrote an article years ago. It's called The Mother of All Antioxidants, Glutathione. So mm-hmm. if you want to learn more about it, you can check that out.
And you know what? And it's still so relevant and so important. We know that glutathione is critical for a well-working immune system. We know it's critical for helping your body detoxify. Mm. And there's some of us that have some variations in our genes that make it a little harder for us to make and produce glutathione.
And I'm one of them, and that's why I got mercury toxicity. And that's maybe why you got breast cancer, right?
Yeah. But you know, there are things we can all do. So there's a lot of people with these genetic variations.
Half,
so it's not
half
like
the population.
Yeah. So it's not like it's a rare thing, but there are things we can do to help our body make more glutathione. Mm. And one of those things is eating a lot of cruciferous vegetables, the broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, radish, kale, right? All those great cruciferous vegetables that help the body with production of glutathione. Mm. We can also give things like N-acetylcysteine or NAC, which helps the body make glutathione. And for
it turns out that may be helpful in coronavirus and COVID-19, the N-acetylcysteine, because it helps in the antioxidant protection and with glutathione production, which is really important as an anti-inflammatory, as well as a detoxifier and antioxidant.
Yeah, and there's been some studies that it can work as an antiviral, and it's got some good lung effects. Yeah. So it's really an interesting nutrient.
It's actually what we give people who have terrible lung asthma symptoms. We literally can give them inhaled Mucamist, right?
Yeah. Yes,
which
NAC.
It's actually N-acetylcysteine. When we were working as doctors, I mean, I was in the emergency room. I didn't know it was a supplement. I thought it was a drug because it was called Mucamist, and you'd order it, and the people would get this inhaled N-acetylcysteine for their respiratory issues.
Yeah. Right. So, and you know, the sulfur-containing vegetables, onions, garlic, shallots, you know, those things are really important to help the body make glutathione. And then we actually just gave her glutathione. You know, I gave her this liposomal glutathione. You can squirt in your mouth. It gets absorbed through the cheek. You can also give IV glutathione. We do that here also at the Ultra Wellness Center. There's other IVs that we do for the skin too, which is kind of interesting, you know, zinc and B vitamins. So, but the, you know, what was great was that's really what helped her skin improve, was really focusing. Of course, we did the good diet and, you know, the good microbiome protection, but really helping her with her
decreasing her total body load of toxins.
Exactly. Decreasing her total body load of toxins and helping her body detoxify. That also helped her body detoxify her hormones and metabolize her hormones. You know, you always focus on those good things with detoxification too, right? Like drinking lots of water, having regular bowel movements, eating a lot of fiber, sweating, exercise, movement,
sauna.
Yeah. All help the body detoxify. But for her, that's when we started to see improvement in her skin.
So this is like seems like a really different kind of approach than you'd get a traditional doctor. You go in, you go, well, here's, I have acne, take this stuff, put it on your skin. You're saying, wait a minute, what could be the cause? The typical things aren't working, dairy and sugar elimination. So you went deeper and you said, well, maybe there's environmental toxins. So you looked at tests that helped her identify what was going on. Heavy metals, you know, petrochemical byproducts, we call persistent organic pollutants, BPA and pesticides. And then you helped her with diet to actually upregulate these pathways.
Yes.
That actually helped her detoxify. You reduced her load by identifying where these sources were in her environment, her diet, and her lifestyle, and got rid of those. And the Environmental Working Group, or EWG.org, has a great list of resources of how you reduce your exposures, whether it's household cleaning products, skin products, your diet, vegetables, what animal products, whatever you're doing, how do you reduce your body burden of toxins? And then you gave her certain supplements that helped to upregulate the right pathways.
Yep.
And the result was her acne got better.
It's phenomenal.
Now that's such a different approach you wouldn't normally see when you go to the doctor and dermatologist and say, I have pimples, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, I think that the way that we're trained in conventional medicine, right, is to quickly identify and then find the medication to suppress the illness or the symptoms, right? And we all know that works well in acute care. Right? When somebody has an acute issue, you want to be able to quickly identify and suppress the issue. Mm. But with chronic issues, we know that that way of treating is not the best.
No.
But that's how we were all trained in conventional medicine. You were trained with that same model. So we have to work to change that because we know for chronic issues and things, even like acne, that just doesn't, it's not getting to that underlying root cause.
See, that's the thing, that the doctor gives you a label. Say, oh, you've got these little white things on your face or it's inflamed. I know what you got. You got acne.
Mm-hmm.
But acne isn't the cause of the problem. It's the name of the problem.
Yes.
So in functional medicine, we focus on the cause, not just the name.
Absolutely.
And it's important to know what it is, but, you know, acne rosacea is another kind of acne, which is really problematic. A lot of people have it. It's like where they get red nose and red face. And that often is treated in a similar way. The gut is a huge factor. Yeast is a big factor.
It's such a huge factor, the gut. I mean, I have patients where they're, you know, it's dysbiosis until proven otherwise.
Pretty much,
we see so much of it is dysbiosis, and we treat the dysbiosis, the acne rosacea gets better. And when it starts to come back, we go, okay, that dysbiosis is coming back.
So Liz, this is an incredible podcast. I think it's going to help so many people who suffer with skin problems, not just acne, but like all skin problems.
Yeah.
And we talked about some other ones on other podcasts, but you know, this is the problem that affects 50 million people. And like I said, that's more people that have cancer, diabetes, and heart disease, right?
Yes.
Autoimmune disease affects more people, but that means all the autoimmune disease. So this is such a common issue. It's so poorly treated with traditional medicine in ways that are actually harmful, like oral antibiotics or Accutane can be hard on the liver.
Yes.
And that it's relatively simple to treat using functional medicine, using a different set of questions, a different set of tests, a different set of dietary interventions, specific supplements that can help.
Yep.
And we talked about things like zinc and vitamin A, fish oil, evening primrose oil is another one that's great.
Yep.
So it's just such a refreshing story to hear of these patients who recovered from a problem that creates so much problem for people. It creates so much emotional distress.
Yep.
You know, it creates so much psychological distress. And it's just a pain to have pimples. So I just really grateful for the work you do and work we do here at the Ultra Wellness Center to bring these kinds of approaches to so many people who really are struggling with these issues. And we provide a real simple way for people to access this. And people can go to ultrawellnesscenter.com, learn more about our practice. They can click on the Get Started tab to actually register to become a patient. And I think that if we just go that little bit extra and little bit more sort of thorough, comprehensive evaluation based on this new model of functional medicine, which is treating the cause and treating the system, not just the symptoms, we can help so many people. So Liz, thank you so much for joining us on the Doctor's Pharmacy special episode of The House Call. And if you've been listening to this podcast and you love what you heard, please share it with your friends and family on social media. Leave a comment. I'd love to hear from you. And subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you next time on the Doctor's Pharmacy.
Thank you, Mark.
Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Hyman. Thanks for tuning into the Doctor's Pharmacy. I hope you're loving this podcast. It's one of my favorite things to do and introducing you all the experts that I know and I love and that I've learned so much from. And I want to tell you about something else I'm doing, which is called Mark's Picks. It's my weekly newsletter. And in it, I share my favorite stuff from foods to supplements to gadgets to tools to enhance your health. It's all the cool stuff that I use and that my team uses to optimize and enhance our health. And I'd love you to sign up for the weekly newsletter. I'll only send it to you once a week on Fridays. Nothing else, I promise. And all you have to do is go to drhyman.com/picks to sign up. That's drhyman.com/picks, P-I-C-K-S, and sign up for the newsletter. And I'll share with you my favorite stuff that I use to enhance my health and get healthier and better and live younger longer.
Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Just a reminder that this podcast is for educational purposes only. This podcast is not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or other qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. If you're looking for help in your journey, seek out a qualified medical practitioner. If you're looking for a functional medicine practitioner, you can visit ifm.org and search their Find a Practitioner database. It's important that you have someone in your corner who's trained, who's a licensed healthcare practitioner, and can help you make changes, especially when it comes to your health.